Here we go on a Sunday morning. Just after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM at 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We're every same time, every Sunday, live in the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead the Rebels to a bowl game. Caleb is part of the UNLV football broadcast team and the co-host of the soon-to-be Marcus Arroyo show, along with Russ Langer on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here, producer Chris Magnum Chapman, fresh off an engagement, and Moonlight as the locker room reporter for Vegas Golden Knights radio game broadcast. And behind the tripod, the only blimp-riding intern in existence,
the Wiz!
That is Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski, getting ready to debut something here in a few seconds.
You are getting good at that last name.
I'm working on enunciation. That's part of the 2020.
It's super impressive to me that you, because I know you off of the air. And it's impressive that you don't fumble over that every time.
Well, it's only taken him 17 weeks.
Right, 17 weeks of it, but I mean, he's getting there.
15 and a half.
I expected this to be like a forever thing, that you wouldn't get it right. And now you're so confident
that
saying it on the air slowly and like you, I think you look forward to saying it just to like prove people wrong.
Like two weeks in a row, I made sure at the end I slipped it in.
Yeah, you do. Okay, and like it's usually just the Wiz, but now it's like.
Well, listen, let me tell you this much. Two things. One, first, I want to mention that I am getting married. Did you guys know that? I'm totally kidding. I just thought I had to do it.
I almost fell out of my chair.
We had that thrown at you last week.
I was like, what?
I don't know who to yet, but one day I'll get married again. All right, listen. The show's also streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. And you can watch on our personal pages as well. The show is live, as I mentioned, so your calls are welcome. The Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Amari Hardy grabs it, and Wyoming calls off the Dogs, and the Rebels are going to get an overtime win on the road in conference for the second time this year. They'll dribble it out, and they'll win it 78-69.
You're hearing some boom birds here at T-Mobile Arena, and here's a dump in. They're not going to whistle it down for icing. The horn sounds, and this one is over.
I'm the Wiz, and this is What's on Tap, thanks to our title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp, with offices locally in Las Vegas and in Henderson. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, Residential Bank Corp is the company to turn to for all your home financing needs. Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time. On tap, as you heard from the highlights, the Vegas Golden Knights lost, and the Rutten Rebels won. Two guests today, Emily Van Buskirk, who is covering the FBS championship game, and Chris Matthews from Panel 8 joins the show for this week's Blazin'. I am the Wiz, and that's what's on tap thanks to Residential Bank Corp. If you're looking to buy a home or refinance the home you're in, choose a company you can trust. Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time.
There we go. That's his debut. What do you think?
The debut. The intro was a little shaky. I was worried. Well, I'm the Wiz. And I was like, oh
here we go. And
then he rebounded.
He stepped it up just like he did on the blimp. He stepped up on the blimp the other day, too. And
that's great.
And the only guy we're talking about this a little bit later, we're going to be joined by Chris Matthews, who got to join us on a bucket list campaign this past Tuesday. And the Wiz shows up with open-toed shoes.
And you could have known, honestly.
And I mean, you know,
that's
you're
not
on the blimp.
First thought you have been going on a blimp.
Well, you know, I kind of thought, you know, what is the difference if the blimp crashes? Are closed-toed shoes really going to make that much of a difference?
It makes no difference. Are they
going to recognize you by your toenails? I mean, I have no idea what that was for, but either way, we were able to take care of that, and we will talk about that a little bit later on. But Mags, go ahead and hit nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, Golden Knights, seven-game homestand they just wrapped up yesterday against the Columbus Blue Jackets, William Karlsson's old team. And, Chris, they started this homestand seven games. We knew it was vital. They were really playing well or playing decent coming into it. Then they caught fire. They win the first four games, including an unbelievable comeback overtime win against the St. Louis Blues, and things really looked like they were heading in a great direction. Fleury's old team, Pittsburgh, comes to town. Good game, but they lose Tuesday. Then L.A. Subban gets the call and goal, and L.A. just comes out, and he looks shell-shocked. It was 3-0 before you could blink. And that kind of carried over into yesterday's game against the Blue Jackets as well. They get shut out. Not a single point on the board for the Golden Knights in any way, shape, or form. Now, an eight-game road stand, or I should say an eight-game road trip. What do you make of all this, Chris?
Well, I don't make a whole lot of it. I think people are overreacting to the three losses, to be honest. The thing is, I kind of feel like after that St. Louis game, there was a bit of an emotional letdown when they played Pittsburgh. I mean, it's strange, right, because you think they'd be up for Pittsburgh. But I feel like the emotions of coming out and winning that game against St. Louis in the fashion that they did, falling behind 3-0.
What a fun game it was. That was one of the most enjoyable games I've seen.
Yeah, and then, you know, they followed that up, and they played poorly against the Kings. And then last night, I just feel like they were tired. It's like, all right, look, this is the seventh game at home. I feel like because coming off the holidays, there was, you know, just... I just felt like it's time for them to get out on the road. The coach had alluded to it earlier in the week that maybe seven games is a little bit too long of a homestand, especially coming on the heels of the holidays, because remember, they came back from that father's trip with 3 points out of two games. Then they had Christmas. They went on the road for one. They were beaten by Colorado at home. Then they went on the road and lost to Anaheim. Then they came home and to start the seven games. So they had 8 of 9 at home with Christmas in the middle. So I kind of feel like maybe they were a little worn down by the end of this homestand. Last night, Columbus got out to that 1-0 lead, and you never felt like the Knights were going to get back into it, even though it's only a one-goal lead. Columbus, they just did what they do, and they block a lot of shots. They don't let you get a lot of shots off from close range. Everything's from the outside. Elvis Merzlikins, who was the Columbus goalie last night, picks up his first career NHL shutout. And by the way, he was named after the Elvis. And
that's cool.
From Riga, Latvia. I don't know how many Latvians are named after Elvis Presley, but
he's more than one. You would think. I think people are named all over the world after Elvis Presley. No, not anymore.
I personally have never met an Elvis, so I will not accept that notion.
Well, it's
there's nobody named Elvis.
How many Asians are named Elvis?
I don't.
Did you ever meet one? You lived over there for a long time.
Nobody named Elvis. There's only one Elvis, and anybody
what about
else
an Asian
named
version
Elvis
of
was
Elvis?
A mistake.
I don't really know who that would be, but okay.
What's the name of that guy that was on American Idol that was like hilarious? Not talented at all, but he actually was a superstar.
William Hung.
William Hung.
He was like the closest
Bang?
Thing to Elvis. Yeah. That guy. Like. He was like Elvis of his time, right?
Yes.
But nobody named Elvis.
He didn't have the sideburns.
Elvis is a terrible name, and I'm just thinking about this. Elvis?
It's a great name for a dog.
That's a terrible... Maybe for a dog,
right?
Well, but Elvis is probably up there with worst names in the world, like with Keith.
It's too close to Elvis. It's the worst names I've ever heard. Why would you want to name somebody like Elvis Pelvis, you know?
Smush. Right. Like, we talked about Smush last week. Like, Smush is a name now for some... Elvis and Keith, the three worst names in the English language.
Well, it's better to be named after Elvis Presley than Elvis Gerback. Imagine if he comes out and says, my parents named me after Elvis Gerback.
Yeah, what?
I don't know where this is going. Go back to the Gold Knights. Well, but I want real quickly, because Caleb said it before the show, and you mentioned it, and the coach said it, Gerard Gallant mentioned it, about, you would think it's advantageous just to play every single game at home. But there are a lot of distractions when you're home.
Absolutely.
And you know, not to mention wives, girlfriends, maybe a little bit too much nookie-nookie. You never know.
And it's not so much about, you know, every now and then a home break is good, but I think the focus level drops when you're at home because you're comfortable. And I think to compete in sports, you have to have a certain level of appropriate fear. That's what Popovich always calls it in basketball, appropriate fear. And it's disrespect for the game. If you're at home all the time, going back to your own bed with your wife, if you have one, with your own, you know, your own routine, you get comfortable with that. Sometimes getting out on the road where the schedule's set for you, this is what you have to do. You have to be here. You have to do this. This is a part of the team function. It's just you and the team on the road in a foreign place. You resort to what you know best in that situation, which is playing hockey, which is playing the sport you're playing while you're on the road. So if you're at home all the time, like you said, there's just distractions. There's a level of comfort that you have, and you don't get up for games the same way.
And I think whenever there might be a little bit of friction or something on a team, you get on the road and it's just you guys together. You form that brotherhood again. Right? You've had that before.
Absolutely.
Where you get into friction with guys, you get on the road.
Road games were actually, I was focused less more pressure on road games than I was at home because, like you said, you don't get booed on the road if you do that, number one. And there were some boo birds, justified boo birds, against the Kings when they were just stinking it up in T-Mobile. But on the road, it's just you. It's just your job. You focus up, and you get it done. So I think 7 games is a long time to be at home. You get really comfortable for 7 games straight.
Maybe I should do the show on the road. I'd be better, right?
Well, technically, you're always on the road on the show.
Good point, Max. Right, we are on the show
it's
again.
It's a miniature road trip every time I come here. So
it's a huge road trip for me. It is a road trip for me also. But Max is right. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we're only a couple of weeks, I think 3 weeks removed from doing the Super Bowl. We'll be doing a Super Bowl live remote out of Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, working on the guests right now. Mike Price helping me out with that a little bit. And, of course, Bert Tabor, see if we can get some former Oakland Raiders in there to talk to us on Super Bowl Sunday. Should be pretty cool.
Yeah, now getting back to the Knights, I feel like if they go on this road trip, because they have a 4-game road trip, Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal, Boston, they're not winning in Boston. So you could just forget that. But the three other games are winnable. Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, all teams that they are better than. Now, granted, they lost to Montreal in this building on Halloween night. Max Pacioretty's old stomping grounds. I feel like that's a game that they'll win. Look, the reality is if they go 1-3 on this road trip before they go to the bye week, it might be time to hit the panic button. I feel like they're going to rebound, getting out on the road. They're leaving today for Buffalo. They don't play till Tuesday. They'll be in Buffalo for a couple days. That's an awful place. Nobody wants to be in Buffalo. They're going to be angry.
I don't know, Niagara Falls. You can go visit Niagara Falls.
It's overrated.
Most of those guys are Canadian anyway. They've seen Niagara Falls.
Have you been there?
I've not.
Okay.
I have been there,
and honestly, I got to tell you, I went in the winter, and
I feel
it was one of the coolest things. We got a hotel room right above, like, the Canadian version of the falls. There's a horseshoe.
I feel like the aerial version, looking up, is pretty cool. I've seen videos of people that get on the boat and go under the falls, that's cool and all, but I don't think that's what I want to do. Like, I would rather,
like, Lady the Mist or
like
something
like
that.
Get the view from above, like that, you know, that nobody gets, because I've seen, and you just get drenched on those boats, like, we're just going right up to the falls like that, but I want to go. It's on the bucket list.
Well, maybe they should go to the Niagara Falls and do a little community trip together and start winning hockey games, but they should win in Buffalo. The thing is I do agree that this road trip leading up to the All-Star break and, of course, the break that they'll have will be good for them. And, of course, on this road trip, and it comes right after the break, I think Mags is the game against the hottest team in hockey, and you'll hear about them again in Blazing, because Tampa Bay Lightning, man, 10 wins in a row right now and counting, and they are looking really, really good, but they were looking really, really good last year when they got bumped in the first round.
They came out of the gate struggling. I mean, there was a point where in November they didn't look like they were a playoff team, and they've turned it on, and
they're turning it on, kind of like the St. Louis Blues turned it on last year.
This
is a time that you do turn it on and gain a lot of confidence and momentum
forward. There was a little bit of a hangover because of the fact that they got knocked out of the playoffs so early last year after winning the President's Cup or President's Trophy, but I kind of feel like Tampa right now, they dug themselves too big of a hole to catch the Bruins. Boston, to me, I watch them a lot. David Pastrnak is just ridiculous.
He's so talented.
He may score 65 goals. I mean, that's how good he is, which in this day and age in the NHL is like...
almost unheard of.
It's almost like a running back rushing for 2,000 yards right now in the NFL. But to me, Boston is the best team in the NHL. I think they are the team to beat, and I'm saying that now. I said it last year. They went all the way to the finals and lost to the Blues in 7 games. They just look like the most complete team. Golden Knights are going to play them at the end of this road trip.
get a little gauge.
I have a little strategy. Because Marc-Andre Fleury is skipping the All-Star game. So he has to be.
Got to rest up.
The rule is you're suspended for one game if you skip the All-Star game.
Yeah.
They play Montreal.
They play Carolina when they come back.
Yes. However, what I would do is I would play Fleury against Montreal, allow him to stay in Montreal with his family, which is very close to where he grew up. Let him take the suspension for the Bruins game. You call up Garrett Sparks. You throw him in there against the Bruins. It's a game you're not going to win anyway. Why not let Fleury get those extra couple days with his family in Canada? Refresh, come back from that road trip, and be ready to go for the final stretch down the season.
Yeah, not a bad. I don't mind the thought. It's just I don't think you want to lay an egg against the Bruins. I don't think you want to send that message to the rest of your team or your fans. You want to try to win that game. And
well, you could try to win the game. But the reality is the way Fleury's been playing the last week.
Give him a rest. Give him a rest. No, yeah, and I'm not disagreeing.
Because here's the reality of the situation.
He's going to get a 2-week rest if you do that.
Everybody loves Marc-Andre Fleury. He's a great guy, super friendly guy to talk to. You root for the guy. The reality is, he has not been good.
Not this
year. The last two months.
He played very well against the Blues in that comeback. He really did play really well in that game.
After allowing three goals in
the first period. You're right, but he shut it down later on. But I'm not disagreeing.
He wasn't great against the Flyers.
I don't want to say that he's showing his age. It's not like what I saw Drew Brees do in the playoff game last week against the Vikings. But in the same respect, he's showing a little bit of I don't know what you call it because
it's chinking his armor.
Because like in the Blues game, you see in the second half when he had to come up with some big saves. Boy, did he ever like some of his career best saves. So he still has that in him. But on a consistent night in, night out basis, maybe it is time to start rotating him more.
The greats no, have
I,
this situation
I don't
come
think
up.
You rotate him more.
No, I'm saying during the regular season, Max.
No. I disagree because if you look at his last year in Pittsburgh. He was splitting a lot of time with Matt Murray, and he was not.
He helped him to the Stanley Cup Finals until Murray came back. He was the reason, because he was so fresh, Max.
No. You look at his regular season numbers that year, and he struggled.
They were down.
They were not the favorite to win the Cup going into that year because Murray
then
was.
Then he turned it on in the postseason.
We're not talking about the postseason. I'm talking about the regular season.
Yeah.
There is no postseason if Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't get better.
So maybe a rest right now, 10, 12-day rest.
And
we'll
then
get him going.
You bring him back and you tell him, look, this is the final stretch. We need you to be at your very best. Yep. You're going to play
an easy game against the Hurricanes.
Carolina's no pushover at home.
That's right. It is on the road. I thought you said the end of the road trip was against the Bruins. But it is before the break, and they still got three more games.
Then they have four more games on the road.
You're right. You're right. Okay.
So they won't play another game at T-Mobile till February 8th.
It's crazy how long they're gone.
Yeah.
Really, just almost a full month. But it'll be interesting. I still think this is a good team. I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned about. And this road trip will be a good gauge for them. Marc-Andre Fleury missing the All-Star game, which I'm glad he is, to tell you the truth. One less game he needs to play, and he does need to right that ship. Listen, before we take a break real quick, I do want to talk quickly about UNLV basketball. Caleb, as you mentioned, man, you know, you got to give them some credit. I know the Wiz over here wants to throw them down and say they should have lost the game to Wyoming yesterday. Yeah, they could have, but they didn't, and they won. And there are games like Kansas State and like Cal that they should have won that they lost.
Right.
So you can look at those games as well early on. And those are against top five conference programs. But my point is this UNLV team great? No. But right now they're sitting in second place in the Mountain West Conference with another surprise team in New Mexico who, once again, Paul Weir's doing a great job over there, and I love this guy. Last year, a little bit of a down year, and then he shows up again in the conference tournament. You know, the key to where in New Mexico is playing that absolutely swarming zone defense, and he seems to get away from it. And every time he gets away from it, they start losing basketball games, and I don't know why he keeps trying to reinvent the wheel over there. Go with what works, and I think New Mexico will be fine. As Mags mentioned, San Diego State still yet to lose, not only in the Mountain West, but yet to lose a game, one of the few undefeated teams left in the country. And San Diego State is no slouch, and this is a team, Mags, I finally got to see him play once, and this is a team that I'm telling you is a legit... I don't even want to just say Sweet 16 team. This team could make the Final Four, you know, if everything goes right and they get the right matchups and catch a team right on the right night. Their defense is utterly swarming.
Well, they have the athletes to be able to play the defense that they like to play. I mean, Brian Dutcher, you know, he's a Michigan guy. Yep. Was basically that guy who waited an eternity to get a head coaching job, and he's taking advantage of it. I mean, he's a good coach. I know some people who knock him. He's not that great at X's and O's. You know what? He gets the most out of his players, and as a coach, I feel like that's when you know you're doing a good job. I mean, maybe Caleb could speak to that because I'm sure he's played for coaches who weren't great, but they got the best out of him.
Yeah,
and you know,
I know a coach who got the best out of him.
Stop it.
Jesus.
I set you up.
You did. Thank you.
You served the line.
Man, I just smashed.
And he just came in
so
and
easy.
Smashed it.
I could have hit that with one hand.
That was like Meet the Parents, like, where they're playing volleyball in the pool, and the guy sets up the spike for
Bites him right in the face.
God, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
Ben Stiller?
Ben Stiller, and he smashes the ball down and hits the girl in the face.
Yeah, right in the face.
That's pretty much what it is.
That was outstanding. A coach getting the most out of his players is, I think, that's what coaches have the ability to do. X's and O's generally are stolen and handed down through generations of coaches anyway. Like, there's only so much you can do X's and O's wise. I mean, there's some ingenuity, there's some creativity that you can put in X's and O's, but that's not what decides. There's guys sitting on their couches that can put together X's and O's and tell you what a good play looks like on the court or on the field. But the ability to, one, judge talent and assess talent and understand what talent needs to fit with what X and what O on the field, that's number one. And then number two, getting people to believe that that's the best thing that they should be doing. And I think that's what coaching is about.
And finding, you know, each individual. The best coaches, to me, are the ones that coach individual players and not just the team in general, because there are guys you can absolutely jump on and actually need to be jumped on, and there's guys that when you jump on them, you lose them.
Yeah, it's a personality thing more than anything. It's not all about the game.
The best coaches are psychiatrists.
Yeah, you got to be able to play the game with the athletes that you're dealt, and the best coaches do that. And obviously, I think it's yet to be seen. We're talking about UNLV basketball, but I think TJ's getting the best out of his roster right now. If you look at where they sit in the conference, and if you said that they would be there, you know, before the season, I think that a lot of people would probably laughed at you and said, "No way."
With the Rebel basketball team, you have to start thinking is at some point they're going to start making threes.
Yeah,
I mean, you just look at the track record of the guys on the team, and yeah, they're not going in right now.
Yeah, you shoot 34% from three and 38% from the field on the road, and you come out of it with win. You feel good about that.
They've got guys who, I mean, you have to feel at some point Joe Antonio is going to start to get hot.
Right. And if that happens, here's the bottom line, they could finish. It's not like far fetched at this point. At this point in the season, with what they've done so far, and like I said, the back end of the schedule. We said this last week. The back end of the schedule, they have some tough road games. Like, they're playing the top teams in the conference on the road to finish off conference play.
That's the best time to play
because you've already, like they're doing now, they've laid some groundwork. They've got a team that's 4-1 sitting number two in the conference right now. You go and, you know, maybe take your lumps on the road, but you can still finish middle of the pack. And I think for an inaugural season for TJ, that's a win. You got to count that as a win.
And the other key is you've built up enough equity right now to where you should win some home games coming down the stretch where you don't find yourself playing in that play-in game like we've seen in years past.
Right.
You know, you get that extra day. You know, the conference tournament, ultimately, I feel like UNLV probably isn't going to win it. They're probably not an NCAA tournament team. But the reality is you have a lot of players who will be back next year. You build towards next year. I mean, yeah, you're going to lose Donnie Tillman, but I feel like there is the groundwork there for this program to start moving
forward.
There's
actually a real nucleus.
Yes.
And TJ's doing a great job as a coach of laying the foundation for what he wants the team to be.
I don't like using the word great when I talk about UNLV yet. Maybe down
Did I
the
say
road,
great?
You said he's doing a great job.
He's doing a job we would expect him to do.
He's taken some chances as a first-year coach. With the way he suspended players, his star players at that, for breaking team rules. And that, I think, not in terms of winning or X's and O's on the court, this is a great job of Tillman,
even though it's a winnable game against Air Force, sent a message, yeah, so and that, I agree
with
you.
That's a great job laying the foundation of what you want your team to be about and accountability and things that he said coming in. He's true to his word, and then he's still winning. He has a 4-1 record in conference with doing it his way and people having to fall in line. And that, I think, lays great groundwork for guys coming in that say, hey, you got to fall in line. You might be a 3-4-star recruit coming out of high school, but you're going to earn it here. You're going to be on time for meetings. You're going to do that's. He's doing a great job in that aspect, I guess.
He's looking to be a good coach. I think Caleb is lobbying to get the coaches show host for the TJ Otzelberger show. And I'll put in a good word for you and say that you are talking up UNLV basketball like crazy.
I'll put my resume on LinkedIn.
I'll tell you,
can
be the odd couple, you and Magnum. The two alumni will go head and head at this. You know, I like what I see, and I'm surprised that I'm saying that. Anybody, even though that Utah State was not the Utah State team that we will probably see when they get healthy, when they get their center back, when Sam Merrill is at 100%, but either way, they beat him. And if you would have told me 9-9, I would have believed, but I wouldn't have believed 4-1 in the conference at this point. So I am impressed. And now they come home, couple of games. They'll be playing San Jose State. We'll get to see that new and improved New Mexico State team this coming Saturday, a week from yesterday, and then again Wednesday night we'll be out at the UNLV San Jose State game. So we'll see what happens. A couple of good home games to potentially build that up. They win two more games and go 6-1 in the conference to start, which I think is very possible. That would be if that didn't exceed your expectations, you're just lying. That's all, and it's okay. People are in denial. Listen, we're going to take a real quick break. On the other side, we've got Emily Buskirk, Chris Matthews at Channel 8 coming up in a little bit. Still, we've got Blazin', and we've got our picks of the week. We'll talk about that. The NFL playoffs, man. You are listening to Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. In two seasons, the Clemson Tigers quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who started last season as a true freshman, has never lost a collegiate football game in 25 starts. This means nothing to the odds makers that they currently have the other Tigers from LSU as the favorite by 5.5 points. Joining us on the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line from New Orleans, Emily Van Buskirk, who is covering the championship game for Yardbarker. I know the game is in New Orleans, but after what we saw Clemson do to Ohio State, should LSU be favored by almost a touchdown?
No. I'm going to start that two-parter. A, no. And B, I understand why they are, because that has been the storyline of this championship game, is just how much of a home game this is for the LSU Tigers. I mean, everywhere you go down here, everyone's saying go Tigers, you know, everything is LSU. And I honestly, so I went to the Clemson practice yesterday. It was in a ballroom, right, at their hotel because the weather's so bad, whereas LSU was practicing at the Saints practice facility. So people are saying, oh, it's even more of a disadvantage, more hometown LSU stuff. But at the end of the day, what I was talking about with the Clemson folks is that there is such a thing as being too hyped, as being overstimulated. And I think what we could see is too much excitement and family and friends and support, where you get too much energy and you make some mistakes. And as we all know, mistakes are going to be the key to this game. Who can limit them? Who can profit off of them? So I think the line's right where it should be. I think Clemson needs to stay under that radar.
Who makes these mistakes, Em? And I've got to ask you, pro prospect, Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence, who's a better one?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think at this point I have to go Joe Burrow, just based on, you know, numbers and what I've seen and all of that. But who's to say who's going to have the better, longer career in the NFL? I mean, we've seen quarterbacks come in and do better than people thought. We've seen guys come in that should have been good and just tank, you know. Let's never forget Jamarcus Russell, ever. you know, I'm going to say Joe Burrow because
I don't forget Matt Leinart either.
That's fair. I mean, the list goes on. We could keep going.
We can go. You're right. No, you know, it's hard to disagree that Joe Burrow, to me, it's neck and neck. And I'm thinking, though, if I'm LSU to ensure victory, you know, you go by the old Samson and Delilah theory. Go cut Trevor Lawrence's hair, and maybe that'll help you out, because this guy is flipping unflappable. Did that sound flipping unflappable?
Flipping unflappable.
But he really is. I mean, it is amazing. The beating he took against Ohio State, and the one hit where he got high load and Chase Young just about ripped his head off, and he comes up and two plays later he's throwing a 15-yard pass downfield for like nothing happened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is unbelievable, considering he is a true sophomore, not a redshirt. This guy comes in as a true freshman last year, and all he's done is never lost a collegiate football game in just about two full seasons of college football at the highest possible level with the national championship under his belt. How do you bet against this kid?
I don't think you do, and that's one of the biggest arguments that I've made this week for Clemson. Is I was at the Fiesta Bowl, so you know I saw them go down 16-0 to Ohio State, and what kind of team crawls back out of that, you know, hand over hand out of that pit and comes back to win a game like that against a really great Ohio State team with Chase Young, you know, leading that defense. That needs to be talked about more, because all we were seeing was, oh, you know, LSU destroying Oklahoma by so many points. But I think it got lost in the shuffle that Clemson was down that much and was able to orchestrate this major comeback. And that's why I would never bet against a Dabo halftime pep talk. I'd never bet against, you know, a Trevor Lawrence comeback, because those things, they're just intangible elements that this Clemson team has in space. And that's what makes them very dangerous, especially when it comes down to the wire.
It does. And, you know, one of the intangibles, Caleb, but, you know, no question about it, no pun intended, but coaching.
Yeah.
Is don't laugh. We're not talking about Bobby Houck.
Why do you do this?
But in all seriousness, I want to know for both of you guys, and give me your opinion on this. Right now in college coaching, as well polished and as long and as prestigious and astute as that resume is that Nick Saban has, is he a better coach than Dabo Sweeney?
In what sense are you asking?
I'm asking right now, you get to pick a coach, any college coach in football, and you get to take who you want right now. Would you take, and you know, it's got to, those two guys have got to be on the short list. Who does it call, who do you take, Caleb? If you got your choice right now, you could take Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney to start your team. Gus Malzahn, I'll throw him in there. Who do you take?
This is a tough question, because it's a little bit loaded, because I think Dabo Sweeney gets a little bit of an easier route to do what he's doing because he's in the
How
ACC.
How does he get
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay. All right.
One, he doesn't have the competition of recruiting. So he's as far as the ACC goes and who that region he's
Florida
recruiting,
State is in the competition in recruiting.
Not in the last decade, no. No, they're not.
Okay.
So you talk about Alabama, he's competing at the top of the crop, at the cream of the crop with the SEC and everybody in that region. It's a toss-up of where the guy's going to decide to go as far as the top recruits. Then this season, if we're just talking about this season alone, he had to deal with Tua being injured all year long, who's the best player on his team, could have been the best player in college football if not for Joe Burrow and his miraculous ascent to stardom. So I don't know if I would necessarily lean to Dabo just based on the pure resume. Nick Saban's a hell of a coach. Dabo may be a better recruiter, but I still give Nick Saban the edge as far as coaching. He's done it for longer, number one. He's schemed up some of the best defensive performances that we've seen. And then he's had the ability to change his offensive mindset to be a pass-first offense when, for all of history, Alabama was a run-it-down-your-throat, play-solid defense type of team. Now, the last few years, they've been shooting teams out. They've been putting up 40 points a game, throwing the ball up and down the field. So he's shown the ability to adapt and adjust. So I'm going with Nick Saban. I give
Emily,
him a slight
me,
edge
Emily,
over
give
Dabo.
Me a counterpoint with Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah,
because
I
know you
sure
do, because
Caleb.
I'm
Here
looking,
we go.
I'm looking at this guy, and I'm just going to say with Dabo Sweeney right now, you know, a guy that is an improviser, a guy that is able to a motivator, and also a guy that can also reorganize his playbook based on his talent. He's good enough at that he's got his playbook right now geared towards Trevor Lawrence when he changes. And not only that, the wherewithal last year to take a chance on a true freshman
I don't think it was much of a chance.
Oh, my God. It's always a chance when you put a true freshman in the game.
He didn't just put him in the game.
At quarterback?
He didn't just put him in the game. It's not like he just walked out there and put him in. He actually was sharing duty when he first came to Clemson. So he kind of edged him in with some playing time with another starting guy and kind of worked him into rotation so he had some confidence before he took over. So
another starting guy that they had all the confidence in the world that was going to come right behind Deshaun Watson and be just as good. And he's not. And he wasn't. And Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be better.
And it just happened. Better than this, I don't. That's a little far.
I'm foreshadowing.
He's also had, and that's another thing. Over this Dabo Swinney run, he's also had two of the best quarterbacks, and Trevor Lawrence is up there. Deshaun Watson obviously was probably one of the better quarterbacks in college football, if not the best quarterback in his time in college football. Deshaun Watson.
All
was.
Right, I'm going to give you the floor. Go ahead.
No, I mean listening to you guys is way more entertaining. I'd rather hear you guys, but I'll just say this. One of the things that was talked about today at the coaches' press conference that I think carries weight in this conversation is they talked about adjustments, you know, and being a great coach is somebody who can make those adjustments, but not only know what to make, is to have the players follow your lead and actually follow through with the adjustments. And that's what Dabo has going on there, is he's just the heart and soul of that program, and the players adore him. And I'm not saying that they don't love Coach O, because they absolutely do, and most schools you're going to see that kind of love for your head coach, but it's different in Clemson, South Carolina. I've been down there, I've covered some games there, I was standing on the sideline with Taj Boyd watching one of them, and it is just, it's a different feeling, and the kind of players they recruit. Dabo is just a guy that you want in your corner in college football. Nick Saban is always going to be one of the greatest coaches of all time, but Dabo is definitive, in my opinion, of what college football represents at its heart and soul.
Clemson 27, LSU 24.
That's okay. Ooh. Why? It
came to me. It was like something that came out of the sky. I felt it, and that's what just happened.
I don't understand. That's great, and Daddy. If we look at that Ohio State game, and if we really dissect it, Ohio State was playing beating
up. Why are you mad, though?
I'm not mad. It's just shocking. Okay. It's just I understand, you know, the Clemson, and that they deserve respect. I'm not at all saying this.
Like you think they deserve respect.
I just think if you look at the
you
Ohio
think
State
playing UNLV
number one,
in the toilet bowl.
Before the playoffs started, LSU's been head and shoulders above everybody all year long. They play great defense, which is something that people don't talk about enough. LSU's a great defensive team as well. They have the most explosive offense in college football, maybe in the history of college football. This offense is just a machine.
They
absolutely destroyed Oklahoma, which, you know, they had a Heisman candidate at quarterback who was absolutely null and void in that game. So that's number one. Then Ohio State's up in that game, forced to kick a few field goals
in
when they should have scored
half,
points. This is fine. I understand. Okay. Clemson did their part and they came back and won the game. However, without J.K. Dobbins at 100%, without one of their best DBs in the second half, Ohio State still was in this game with a chance to win. So it's not like Clemson ran away with this game or anything. They did come back. I think Ohio State had its chance in the first half to put this game away.
They did.
I'm just saying Clemson, they've done this all the time. They win ugly, and they win ugly again. Over this last 2 years since Deshaun Watson, they don't always win pretty. And that's kind of a part of Dabo's thing, his mantra, and Brent Venables as a defensive coordinator. He's going to adjust and make things happen. But you're talking about LSU, and I just think this is not as close of a matchup as people want to make it. I think it can be. But I think if I'm looking at this for face value, I don't see this being Clemson's game at all. I think this is LSU's game to lose.
It is their game to lose. I mean, even though both teams are undefeated, LSU is number one. They have the Heisman Trophy winner, as decorated as any quarterback's been in college.
Way better strength of schedule coming
into
it.
No question about it, playing in the SEC. This is set up to be a perfect storm for them to blow out Clemson. Clemson just doesn't get blown out. They're not a team that does that. And Dabo Swinney's a guy that figures out a way to keep his team in a game and giving them a chance to win. And I think he'll do it in this game. And I think they'll come out on top, but that's my opinion. If LSU won this game by two touchdowns, why be surprised? Not in the least.
So what does this do for you if that does happen? If he gets beat by two touchdowns or more, and it's a runaway game where it's LSU's in control, what does that do to your legacy for Dabo Swinney? What does that do?
I don't think it hurts it. He made it to the net. His comeback win against Ohio State to me was already good enough for this year, because people have been criticizing him for playing in the ACC and saying his schedule wasn't tough enough to compete with these elite teams. He just proved it was. So to say he can't compete with LSU after we just saw him do against Ohio State, I disagree wholeheartedly. Ohio State has the most prolific player probably in college football in Chase Young. This guy is probably the best overall player in college football. And he played well, and he did all he could to be disruptive in that game. And yet, Clemson stayed unrattled and stayed in the game and stayed focused. And in the red zone, they shored up their defense against Ohio State in the first half. That's why Ohio State didn't run away with it. But real quick, we do got to move on. Em, final thoughts on this game, and what are you expecting based on what you've seen down there?
I mean, everything that we've been told, you know, by both coaches and talked to all the players yesterday in media day, is that it's going to be a down and dirty fight. I mean, it's going to be Coach O's favorite word. It's going to be gritty, and it's going to be two of the best teams in the nation battling it out. I think, like we said, the mistakes are going to be the key. Whoever can not do too much, you know what I mean, and just stay calm and collected. And that's what, you know, Trevor Lawrence is good at that. So when you associate those words, think of him. So that's why I have this feeling about Clemson. But we're going to see a hell of a football game. It's the game that college football fans deserve. Two elite quarterbacks, two strong teams. It's going to be great. It's going to be one in the trenches, and I cannot wait. So I'm excited just to be here and witness it.
The Tigers versus the Tigers. Emily Van Buskirk with Yardbarker. Emily, tell them how they can check out Yardbarker and read the stuff that you put down, because it's great.
Absolutely. Come check out sportsfanjournal.com is where stuff originates. Yardbarker.com will be there. Sometimes MSN if it's up on there. And always follow me on Twitter at MLMem for all the behind-the-scenes stuff for the rest of the weekend.
Appreciate you. We'll be following them, and we will be talking again very soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Mags, let's take that final break right now, and let's get Chris Matthews from Channel 8 on the phone, and we'll get that in, and we'll squeeze in our picks of the week, which will be on today's games.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why
it is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day at America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, during football season, myself, The Wiz, and occasionally Mags and Caleb Herring are up there enjoying Monday Night Football. We give away replica jerseys. We give away wing parties. We have a great time. Make sure you check it out. That is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango, a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. And joining us for Blazin' today, before we get to that, real quickly, I'm going to let you get your Blazins in. So, Caleb, you start us off.
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans, and specifically Derrick Henry, who's an absolute monster right now. One of only, I think, five running backs to have over 500 yards in his first four postseason games, and he's only played two postseason games, and he's already up over 500. He had 195 last night against the Ravens, over 200 against the Patriots, on the road in both of these games as well. If you have a solid running game, especially in the AFC, it's been proven time and time again, you can win. Derrick Henry by himself is a solid run game. Also had a touchdown pass in the win over the Baltimore Ravens, who were number one in the AFC coming into this game. Nobody gave the Titans a chance, but because of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, wow, who'd have thought you'd been saying that? The Titans are now on their way to the AFC Division Championship. It's unbelievable. They're blazing. I think they're the team of destiny this year. And because I said that, of course, they're going to lose in the AFC Championship. But I think they're blazing right now, this week at least. We'll see about next week.
There is absolutely no question. Derrick Henry, it's amazing when you've got a linebacker that runs like a wide receiver. It's pretty incredible. And somebody said yesterday, who would want to tackle that guy? Can
Nobody.
You imagine coming
that's
through
a
hole?
That's scary.
It is ridiculous. I mean, he's bigger than Earl Campbell. It's insane. Mags, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to be biased today. I'm going to go with my Liverpool Reds. Fastest team in European soccer history to reach the 60-point plateau. They're up to 61 points through 21 games. That is on pace for an English record. They're just unbeatable right now, and they have a big game coming up next week against Man United. They took care of Tottenham yesterday in London. They are blazing. They have gone a full calendar year without losing a game in the league. 38 matches, I think 5 draws, 33 wins. The league has never seen anything like it.
That's pretty incredible, and I'll say they're blazing. Sound like North Dakota State, who won their third straight national championship. Pretty incredible. They're 16-0 overall this year. The team just continues to win, and again, the F FCS National Championship. Also, Tampa Bay Lightning, 10 games in a row they've won in the National Hockey League. And how about Clemson in basketball beats North Carolina for the first time in Chapel Hill in their history, which started back in 1926. They were 0-59 in Chapel Hill. As a matter of fact, it's the longest streak of a team losing on the road in college basketball history.
And based on your love affair with Dabo Sweeney, I'm sure he had something to do with that.
Dabo Sweeney, I guarantee. You know something. And hey, one other thing that I really want to quick blaze in, and that is the guy on the phone right now with us. Chris Matthews got to experience something. The Wiz sitting next to me got to experience as well. A bucket list item. We flew on the Goodyear blimp this last Tuesday. Cool as hell. What's going on, Chris? Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Thanks for inviting me. That was a lot of fun. That was one of those experiences. Picture it. Every sports fan out there has watched these events since they were little kids, and you've always looked up, and they've said, oh, there's the Goodyear blimp, and I guarantee you've always thought, how fun would that be to actually be in that? What does it look like? What does that gondola, feel like, and so forth? And so that was, to me, that was a bucket list experience, a lot of fun. I wish it had been a longer ride, because it was so cool, but that was a fun time, a real fun time, and one of those events that you'll look back and you'll always remember, hey, I went that thing one time.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I was saying, Chris, I didn't even bother putting it on a bucket list, because who would ever think you'd get an opportunity to do something like that?
Isn't the Goodyear blimp an honorary Hall of Famer? And is it the College Football Hall of Fame, or is it just the Football Hall of Fame, where they just made the Goodyear blimp like an honorary Hall of Fame?
Should be in every sport. I mean, it's covered just about everything.
The Goodyear blimp's always all. That's
and
awesome
getting a chance to talk to the pilots and some of the things they've experienced, and just getting to ride in that. It's so smooth, I can't even explain it to you. And you've got the windows open, but it is such a tranquil ride. It's like I said, if the seats reclined, I could live on the Goodyear blimp. I mean, it is that cool. Chris, what did you like the best about it?
I have to agree with you. I thought it was smooth as you take off. You slowly go up. There's no big roars of engines, and you just kind of hovering around. And we went down along the west side of the strip down near Tropicana to see the stadium, Allegiant Stadium. And like you were saying, it was just so smooth and calm, and the windows were open, the air kind of brushing through there as you're, we had all had our smartphones and we're grabbing pictures and video, and you're only 1,000 feet above the air, the ground, so you're looking down, you're seeing everything, you're not way up to where you can't make things out, and going over the top of the Rio and seeing a T-Mobile, and then just to the right of that was Allegiant Stadium, and it was just, I thought it was just so neat. You know what was kind of cool, too, as we were talking, you mentioned you could talk to the pilot, and you could see all the controls, you're just right there. There's no door that separates anybody, and then the other pilot kind of told us what she did. It was a male and a female. The female was telling us that, she was just at the Rose Parade, and she was over at the Fiesta Bowl, and then she went back and did the Rose Bowl, and just how fun all that stuff was. I thought it was neat at the end how she was saying, now this thing can take off at a 30-degree angle and land at a 30-degree angle. And then she said, hey, why don't you take, and she said to the pilot, why don't you take him on a, for a ride going down or whatever. And she only took us on a, I think it was a 24 or 26-degree
angle.
And you're like, whoa. And it's actually really, really cool.
I love you, brother. Channel 8, Chris Matthews. We are out of time. We'll give you our picks on the website. Ran low today. Chris, thanks so much for joining the show.
You bet. Thank you.
Out of line every Sunday, 8 o'clock. We'll be back next week for Chris Matthews, myself, Magnum, Spencer, and Caleb. We're out. We'll be back. Check us out on Facebook Live. Bye-bye.